You may like to open your Bibles up to Romans chapter 12. It seems to me that while New Year resolutions have their place, John Wesley was ahead of that particular game in that he trained and taught the early Methodists in a tradition which has persisted, which is not so much New Year resolution as New Year reconsecration. In other words, reconsecration of the Christian to his or her Lord at the beginning of a new year. The Methodists, under Wesley's guidance, developed a whole covenant service. I dare say they'll be doing that across the way and in the other Methodist churches up and down the country. We'll get a little bit of a taste of that in our service in the last song that we'll sing, which a number of years ago was turned into the words of their service turned into a song which works very well. In thinking about the theme of reconsecration, I was led to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, where Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy," and God's mercy is what he's been talking about for 11 chapters, establishing the huge need of the whole of humanity for a Redeemer who would save us, showing how Christ was that Redeemer, how justification and forgiveness would come through belief in him and his one-off propitiatory death on the cross, and then working through all the issues that that raised. The mercies of God have been there in the first 11 chapters. He says, "Therefore, in view of God's mercy," so this is for people who know and have received God's mercy, "I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice." In other words, to make an offering of the self to Christ. He sacrificed himself and he had to die. This is a living sacrifice, but there is still an offering that's being made. When he says body, he certainly means our physical bodies. I think it stands for more than that. It stands for the whole life that we live in the body. So it's not body as opposed to mind or soul or something. It is the totality of who we are, which finds its expression in the bodies which God has given us. And as I thought about this and thought about opening up this theme of taking Paul seriously in the light of God's mercy, offering your bodies, yourselves as a living sacrifice, I anticipated someone saying, "Well, what does that actually mean? What does that look like? What does it look like in practice?" And the first thing it seems to me is that we need to turn it into a prayer. It's not a prayer. It's a command. He's commanding us to do something. But for us to obey it, there needs to be a prayerful movement on our part towards God of self-opening and of self-giving. And I was trying to find a way of illustrating this, and I'm going to do something which I very, very rarely do, and I feel slightly self-conscious in doing it. But I'm going to read from something that I wrote, which tries to illustrate the kind of process that you might go through in getting to the point of praying a prayer of self-offering and what that would look like from a starting point that is anything but happy. So if you'll forgive the indulgence, this is a kind of dialogue between two pastors. You can guess that one of them is me. It started off as a real-life dialogue on a messaging service, and then I developed some of it imaginatively. So the actual part that's real is just, I think, a few of the interchanges, and then I develop it imaginatively. And bear with me, I will try to indicate what the two voices are. One of them takes up a kind of more senior guiding role, and that sometimes happens in my relationship with this particular person, but most of that bit is more imaginative. "How are things? I'm feeling unbearably irritable with any human being I meet. Sometimes it's just the near to unbearable weight of just being myself. Oh, brother, I'm so sorry. I know it well. I call those my hate the world days. Had one yesterday. Yes, thanks, that helps. You know that limerick, 'I wish I loved the human race. I wish I loved its stupid face. I wish I loved the way it talks. I wish I loved the way it walks. And when I'm introduced to one, I wish I thought what jolly fun. But I don't.' Have you tried talking to God about it? He's the last person I feel I can go to. Why? Well, because I'm so horrible. And? I don't want him to see how horrible I am. Is that logical? What do you mean? Well, if God's God, he can see it already. Yes, I know, but I can't see him seeing me, whereas if I start praying about how I feel, then I'll be more aware of it and I'll feel worse. Have you tried the prayer of self-surrender? Is this more of that trendy stuff? Trendy? Me? Ha! Go on then. Well, there's a lot in the Bible about offering ourselves to God. Paul says in Romans 12:1, we should offer our bodies as living sacrifices. And a bit earlier in Romans 6, he talks about offering every part of ourselves as instruments of righteousness. Well, that's exactly the problem. I'm not an instrument of righteousness, of righteous tunes. I'm an instrument badly out of tune. It feels as though I have the notes too high and low for the human ear, which are uglier still. Look, do you want to give this a go or not? Okay, what do I do then? Find a place to be quiet. Ideally, this would be a physical place, but you can do it where there are other people around, as long as you can make a quiet space inside your mind. Okay, I'm on my own. I'm on my own now, and the phone's off. Yep, that's good. Now, sit quietly and open yourself to God's scrutiny. Look at him as you look deep down inside yourself. Be aware of the rubbish you found down there. And then go beneath what you wish you were. You'll probably be going past what you're worried about. Pay attention to the things about you or your life that are troubling you or disappointing you or making you feel ashamed. Yeah, okay, there's quite a lot there. Make sure you're moving towards God or allowing yourself to be aware that he's looking at you. Tell him you're not what you want to be or should be and that you know that. Okay, feels like a start. You may want to go deeper still. Why? Because none of us really knows or understands ourselves. We just can't. It's partly because we're finite beings with finite knowledge. We have deeper inner capacities for sin and other things than we have the ability to know. So it's like a dog trying to understand how a television works. Gosh. So what do I do? Well, how do you feel about not knowing all that's going on deep inside you that's producing your anxiety, your overwork, your frustration and everything? Well, it's embarrassing and frustrating and annoying. I'd like to be able to fix myself. Okay. Now move towards God, realizing, and this is very important, that he knows you perfectly. Well, I find it hard to make that move. Look at the cross then. Remember God's promise to put us right with him through Christ. Okay, I'm trying. How does it feel? Well, maybe getting somewhere. Good. Move towards him in faith, bringing all that you are, including the grotty bits, and surrendering yourself to him for help because you cannot help yourself and you've nowhere else to go. Yeah, it's certainly true. I don't feel I've anywhere else to go but God. So talk to him. Okay, here goes. Lord, it's not great that I'm coming to you as my last resort. But that's what you are in this situation. Even that makes me realize how messed up I am inside and how little I really get myself. Why have I been so horrible to people in the last 24 hours? Why have I had such critical reactions to people who are just trying to do their best? I really don't want to be like this, but something deep inside that is me but isn't me seems to take over. Okay, that's a great start. Keep going. And I compare it with who I like to think I am, and the difference is awful. Keep going. Oh, Lord, you do know me completely, better than I know myself. But this is just so frustrating and embarrassing. Now is the moment to remember the cross. Bring it to mind. Glue yourself to it. Remember he died for you. All your shameful stuff, your whole inner messed up dark being, even the nice you that you've tried to create and polish to be proud of, it's all nailed there. It's dealt with. It's gone. Really? Why? How? Well, they're good questions, but just think of the father of the prodigal son and his open arms and keep praying. Okay. Lord, I give myself back to you. Thank you that all my stinking, twisted, sad stuff is nailed to Christ's cross. Thank you that you're forgiving me now. That's great. Move towards those open arms by faith. Make the mood move in the inside of your soul. Give yourself completely to him. What does completely mean? Well, you aren't just going for a spiritual and emotional bath so you can get on with life again, are you? How did you know I was half thinking that? Because it's what I do. Moving towards God means giving him all you can of yourself at that moment. The horrible stuff to forgive and put right. The half-good stuff to be purged of pride and be improved by his Spirit. The plans you have for big and exciting things and for little and ordinary things, all of them to be given over to him. It's surrender, submission, abandoning yourself to him. Yeah, and it feels like part of me is resisting that. Yep, perfectly normal. So what do I do? Well, do you want to give yourself to him unconditionally? Yeah, I just feel this resistance inside. Exactly, that's normal, we all do. So what do? Tell him. Tell him what you want, but what you find hard. Then give yourself to him. Well, I sort of get what you mean, but I know. It's always complicated and a bit messy, and probably it always will be. And the idea that it's a simple, uncomplicated move is just shallow and naive. But it is a move that we can make and we must make. So I just have to do it? Well, more or less. The key thing is to do whatever you can do right now. Okay, I'll give it a go. Lord, I want to want you. I want to give myself entirely to you. I'm over halfway there, maybe 80%, but the last 20 is really hard. But that's where I'm at. Take me, as much as I can at this moment, I hand myself over to you. It's your life, not mine. It's your body, not mine. It's your time, not mine. It's your future, not mine. It's your stuff, not mine. I've got this 20% of resistance inside me trying to derail it, but I want you. I want you more than anything else. I want to be yours more than anything else. Lord, I want you. Will you receive me? Well, that was my little attempt at developing a dialogue to try to illustrate what it means to give ourselves to Christ in this way. To pray a prayer of self-offering as a living sacrifice. We have the opportunity as we come to communion to go through that process of coming to him with our brokenness and receiving his healing, being utterly honest about what we've messed up with and what isn't right about us, and receiving the totality of his forgiveness. We have the opportunity too as we receive the bread and the wine and as we respond to them to open ourselves to him and say, Lord, I want you and I want you to be more important than anything else in my life this year. Let's be still for a moment now. I'm aware the Spirit may have been touching you in certain ways as I've been speaking, and it may be you need to make an instant response. And it's just something you need to say quietly to God as we come to the Lord's Supper. So we'll be quiet for a moment, and then I will pray, and I'll invite at that point the people serving communion to come forward. Grant to us, Lord, in the time we have now, to receive your mercy once again and to offer you ourselves as living sacrifices. We invite you, Lord, to do that work. And our longing, Lord, is for something which is serious, sincere, and real, not predictable or shallow or superficial or trite in any way. We want to be serious, O Lord, about re-engaging with you on the basis of the finished work of Christ. For your name's sake. Amen.